terrorists in Iraq are using weapons and supplies and even new technology made in the United States in their attacks on Iraqi cities, and it's calling attention to supply chain problems that have plagued the operations in Iraq. David Olive is principal at Catalyst Partners and writes for the Security Debrief blog, and he writes today that the terrorists in Iraq are even using a brand new drug the Food and Drug Administration just approved for military use in April. David, do we have a sense of why this is happening? What do they have their hands on, and how have they done it, David?
Well, Francis, the specific medical device I talked about was not used, or the news story said that it was used in Pakistan in the attack on the Karachi airport. And this is a product, it's a blood clotting type of technology. It looks like a gigantic syringe with little bitty small, basically dehydrated sponges that can be injected into a wound, or so the manufacturer claims, and it will stop the clotting pretty quickly. The FDA approved that technology on April the 3rd of this year for military use, and then less than 60 days later, it shows up in the terrorists' Tariq al-Taliban hands when they attacked, and 29 people died in the Karachi airport. And my question was, how does it get from here to there so quickly? Are people in the U.S. government looking at this? The bigger stories that we've been hearing about are the Iraqi Sunni group, the ISIS or ISIL, that in a single attack in Mosul took over $400 million in U.S. currency. Now, we all know and we've seen stories that say the military finds it far more efficient simply to leave certain amounts of equipment in theater rather than transporting them back to the U.S. and having to store them and work on depots. But some of this stuff just really, I thought, raised big red flag questions about the speed in which it transferred into the bad guys' hands, and that was the subject of the blog that I wrote.
And my sense is that you're asking this as a rhetorical question in part, but also a realistic question in part, because you write that the Xtat product, as you mentioned, approved April 3rd of this year for use by the U.S. military, and MedGadget reports on this. There are certain peculiarities to this approval, and there are only certain times and places where its use is appropriate, but a terrorist doesn't care about that. When they get a hold of it, they'll use it in whatever the way they want to, and that transition time seems remarkable given where this had to go. I mean, this had to go from somewhere in the United States to somewhere around the world, and it does speak poorly of the supply chain.
Well, and it also raises questions, unless this was acquired by special forces or some type of military unit that doesn't have to go through kind of normal procurement. I think it certainly raises questions about the speed at which a U.S. military entity may have acquired it and then lost possession of it. I don't know if this was stolen, whether there was a black market interception when it came in the port. What we know is the result. And the news reports said that simply because they had this type of technology in their hands, it was very obvious that they were laying in for a long siege, very much like the type of Mumbai-style attack that we saw back in 2009.
You're right. Had this been an instance where a defense contractor's IT system had been hacked and proprietary information stolen, like the stories about the Chinese having gotten into the Lockheed Martin system to learn about the F-35, you're right, it would have been viewed as a major national security breach. Why do you think something like this doesn't make the impression that a cyber attack makes? This is actually potentially a physical attack if they stole this from somebody, whether it was owned by us at the time of its theft or not.
Well, I wish I could answer the question, because if I could have, I wouldn't have asked it. And in the piece that I wrote, I would have simply provided an answer. What I, you know, have to speculate about is that it's a very small product. It's not a big dollar amount. It, you know, is something that was used and geographically contained. We haven't seen any evidence of it popping up in other terrorist incidents, at least none that we've heard about, whereas the cyber attack, the hacking into the defense industrial base, may have a much broader footprint, and it sounds sexier.
David Olive is a principal at Catalyst Partners, writing for the Security Debrief blog, and the headline is, "Who's Supplying Terrorists with U.S.-Made Technologies?" The implication that I take away from your piece, not that you made it, but I infer it myself, David, is that we are going to have to be much more careful about the supply chain, not just for medical devices, but for every single thing. And we shouldn't be surprised in a situation in a country where things are as chaotic as they are in Pakistan or in Iraq, and where there are issues where those forces may be coordinating with each other, that our stuff starts to show up to be used against us, just as weapons have been used against forces throughout history.
Francis, I think that's the exact question that was in my mind that triggered writing the piece. The inference that we can and have technologies that allow us to track our supply chain better does not mean that we're actually doing it. And I'm not sure where in the list of military or civilian agencies that oversee this supply chain effort, that there was a breakdown, and maybe there wasn't a breakdown. Maybe this is a product that somehow got sold on the open market, and they went out and just simply picked it up. I would find that fairly hard to accept, but there's just a lot of questions, and I think we need to be asking the very question you just raised: is this a bigger problem? And if it is, will our own technology be turned around and used against us?
David, more broadly, in the national security and homeland security and military realm, what are the challenges that you see impacting supply chain logistics in the coming years as technology accelerates? As I read about this technology that you write about, this XStat, this is pretty wild stuff. It's very innovative. It's exactly the kind of thing that federal agencies of all types say to industry vendors: we want you to bring us things we haven't seen before to help us solve challenges in ways that we haven't thought of before. This is right up their alley. The edge that we maintain depends on us having access to this stuff that our adversaries don't have access to. So what are the supply chain issues that will keep that supply chain secure that maybe we're not dealing with right now?
Well, we all have heard stories about cargo coming in across our southwest border that is being caught by Customs and Border Protection, carrying drugs, carrying other illicit materials. We know of stories where shipments have been intercepted at the various ports, maritime ports, for example, even extensive technology now checks trains coming across both our northern and southern borders. There will be new technologies that allow trade and commerce to continue to flow as we increase security. But right now, I think most everyone in customs, probably within the Pentagon as well, would say that we're not where we need to be or where we want to be. The regulatory approach, both contractually and in regulations coming out of the agencies, is to try to push that responsibility down to vendors. So the Defense Authorization Act a year ago requires defense contractors to be responsible for the provenance of the computer parts, for not using conflict minerals, for making sure that the cyber systems and components they buy don't have malware already installed in them. And I don't think that I don't think that's an issue that has been fully vetted or tested yet. We have a long way to go, and I think there's going to be a lot of hiccups along the way until the technology and the trade kind of come into some form of equilibrium.